for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Number 3 of the Inspirational Gifts by Reverend W. L. Duncan.
Reading from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul the Apostle said that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts. And then the 4th, 5th, and 6th, and 7th verses, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit us all. Now in our study on the inspirational gifts, on number 2, we've considered that 1 Corinthians 14 and 25, the what is the real test of prophecy. And in 1 Corinthians 14 and 25, and also the 24th verse, but a false prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. In other words, it will bring conviction. And then we go on to the 31st verse, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And then also, reading from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mystery. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And so remember that the gift of prophecy is never to condemn, is never to bring judgment on the body, but the gift of prophecy is to edification, is to exhortation, and is to comfort. Now, as we move on into the realm of the 9 gifts of the Spirit and the revelational gifts, people will often ask about prophecies over individuals. We have gone into cities, and many times as the meetings have begun to move and we've gone into homes, I've had people say to me, well, I'm going to go to another room, and I want you to see the wonderful prophecies that have come over me. They bring out actually a stack of prophecies, pages and pages and pages of glorious things that's going to happen to them. Now, I want to say this. You say, well, don't you believe in personal prophecy? Yes, I believe in personal prophecy, but I want you to get this by the Spirit now and by revelation. When a personal prophecy will come over a person, it will confirm what God has already spoken to the individual. I'll bring it out this way. If somebody were to walk in the sanctuary right today where I'll be ministering, and if they would say to me they'd never seen me before and I'd never seen them, they know absolutely nothing about me. If they would say, Brother Duncan, on September the 10th, you're going to take a jet to Miami, Florida. You're going to start a campaign. God is going to move in a supernatural way, and God is going to perform His word with a sign following. You know what I would do? I wouldn't accept that, neither would I completely reject it. But I'll tell you, I certainly wouldn't rush down to the airlines and get reservations to leave for Miami, Florida on September the 10th until, and now listen to me, until God would confirm that to my own heart and soul. God could do this in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, and God could lay the burden upon my heart for Miami, Florida. Now, if this would not be confirmed in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses that do not know me, if God would not challenge my heart, like I say, I wouldn't accept that, neither would I reject it. I would keep open between now and September the 10th. But if somebody would walk into our services today where I'll be ministering, they had never seen me, they know nothing about my plan, they know nothing about what I plan to do, they know absolutely nothing about me, and I know nothing about them. And if they would come and lay their hands upon me and begin to prophesy, and if they would say, Brother Duncan, on September the 10th, 1966, you're going to be flying Western Airlines to Los Angeles, God is going to move in a supernatural way, He's going to confirm His word with signs following, the Holy Ghost would leap within me, because this would be confirming what the Holy Ghost has already shown me to do, because the Lord knows that He has spoken to my heart concerning the Los Angeles area. I believe that God is going to move by His Spirit, but if somebody would give this word of prophecy over me, it would confirm that which the Holy Ghost has already spoken to me. Now you remember this, we know sometimes the prophecies will come forth over a person, that a husband is to go to India, the wife is to go to South America and all of that. Listen, that's not according to the will and the plan of God. And a personal prophecy comes over you that God has not challenged your heart, don't you just jump into a thing by that, but you keep your heart open and allow the Spirit of God to witness it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. When we had been overseas the first time, God had moved in a miraculous way. Hundreds had been saved, Hindus and Muslims and many different denominational people, many of the nationals from the Portuguese and the East Indians and different groups. And as God was moving in such a supernatural way, with hundreds being saved and filled with the Spirit, moving into the gifts of the Spirit, about the close of the campaign, the Holy Spirit spoke to us that Sister Duncan and I would just be home just a very short time, that we would be returning to minister again in the same area. So as the jet left, I'll never forget, my heart was broken because of the love I had for the people. I'll tell you, you get next to these foreign people, and as you move in the Holy Ghost, they become a part of you. And as you see them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, they actually become like your children. So as the jet took off, my heart was broken. And the first Sunday, I stood back in my congregation. I looked down upon our carpet floors. I looked at our electric organ. I looked at our grand piano. And I said, Lord, I'm actually ashamed and embarrassed that we have all of this when those people over there have hardly anything. My heart was so burdened for them, I could hardly minister. But as I spoke and told you a moment ago, that before we left, the Spirit of God has spoken and said, now you'll be home just a short time. You'll be coming back immediately. Now, when we got back, I looked at the congregation. I thought, it's so wonderful to be home. These folks have stood behind us in giving. They stood behind us in praying. And the Lord won't care if we wait 6 months. This was in the fall. I said, surely the Lord won't care if we go in March or April. Now, no one in the congregation knew this. They didn't know that we had planned to go back soon. And so that day, we had said, well, we'll wait until spring now. We won't go back now. Surely the Lord will understand, because we'll have a chance to be with the folks and minister to them for a few months. I was only home one Sunday, and after ministered that day, and the congregation not knowing this, at the close of the service, there were perhaps 75 to 85 people that were lingering around the altars waiting before God. The Spirit of travail came upon a very precious sister of God that is not very emotional. In fact, she never moved into the things of God unless you really feel conviction and the Spirit of God with us. A heavy spirit of travail began to come upon her. She began to groan in the realm of the Spirit. And after this had gone on for 20 or 30 minutes, soon she stood and she began to prophesy. And this is what she said. She says, go. She says, go now. If you don't go now, she said, the door will be closed. And she fled, and the word of prophecy came over and over to go. Now remember, the congregation did not know at this time that God had spoken to us to go back so immediately without staying there. After she had gotten up there, one of the young men, a red-headed boy, got up about 14 or 15. He began to speak out with almost the same groanings, only in tongues and interpretation. And the interpretation confirmed the prophecy that she had given. And it said, go, go now, or the door will be closed. This was about 11 or 11:15 at night, and the minute they got through, I stood and I said, congregation, I said, before we left Trinidad, I said, God had spoken to us that we would return very soon. But I said, as we got home and as we have ministered today, I said, we have such a love for you folks that we felt that we would stay here and minister a while, and then we would go in the spring. But I said, after this has been confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses of people that did not know this, I said, Sister Duncan and I must prepare, I said, to go back immediately to the island. I said, now we don't have the money to do it. We need a gospel tent, which will cost about $1,000, not for us, but for the nationals and the missionaries to use after we're gone. I said, all I'm going to ask you to do is just to join hands and to pray with us that God will supply the need for us to go, and that God will supply the need for the tent. That's all we did. We went home that night. I called the general superintendent, told him what had happened. That was about 11:30 or 12 at night. He said, Brother Duncan, he said, that's very strange. He said, I've just put down the telephone. He said, pastor in California had just called him, not knowing a thing that we had prayed. He said he felt led that they should take up an offering for a 10 in Trinidad. And he said as the first offering was taken, he said enough came in. He said $1,000 came in, enough to pay for that tent. Now listen, when God speaks, he works on both ends. It wasn't very many days and weeks before we were ready, and we went overseas again, and God worked in a precious and in a tremendous way. Now the thing that I was bringing out about that, God had spoken to Mrs. Duncan and myself that we would be going back to the island. Then we had agreed in the natural that we would wait a while. But after God had known this, he spoke to us and confirmed to us of that and brought it to pass of what that he had already spoken to our hearts. Now we thought that when these words of prophecy and tongues and interpretation came forth, that if we didn't go to the island, that perhaps the doors would be closed there. But that coming spring, had we not gone in the fall when we did, my precious mother-in-law, who was 83 years old, took cancer, went to be with the Lord, and had we waited until March or April, we would not have gotten to go because of the needs of the family there. So I thank God for the gift of tongues and interpretation and prophecy. And I want to tell you, saints of God, when God speaks in tongues and interpretation, and when he speaks in prophecy, we can get so used to prophecy, we can get so used to tongues and interpretation that we almost take it for granted and we don't take heed to what the Spirit tells us to do. There are times in our services the Spirit of prophecy will tell us to take off the shoes from take your shoes off, for the place that you're sitting is holy ground. When this happens as a husbandman, all of us will move in and we take the shoes off of our feet. We're obedient to the voice of the Lord. If the Lord speaks to us to skip and jump in the dance, we actually do that because the prophecy and interpretation don't just come just for there to be something to fill the service, but God has something that he wants us to do, and we have to be very obedient to the Spirit of God, for if we're not obedient to the Spirit of God, we're going to miss what God wants to do. I remember one of the services in a certain city where God was moving. A spirit of prophecy came, and it said, there's going to be an earthquake. And it said, for all you folks to go home tonight, and when you get home tonight, to march around your property with your hand up, and say, peace be to this house. Peace be to this house. Peace be to this house. And the prophecy said that all of those that would do that, that when this earthquake would come, that their property would not be destroyed. You say, did you do it? Yes, we did it. In fact, it almost looked funny. We didn't care what the neighbors said. We marched around our house. In fact, we even marched out in the street that God would protect us. And as we marched around the street, and the prophecy is said to march around your house three times, holding your hand up and saying, peace be to this property. We did that. And for you folks that have been in our homes, you know, we have antiques at that time. We had a lot of carnival glass and Bristol vases. We had antique dishes all over the place because we don't believe in putting things ready away in the trunks, but we believe in using them. We had them over the fireplaces, cabinets full, china cabinets full, all of them out. They looked so pretty. And I remember this day, a few weeks after we had done this, an earthquake came, and many of you remembered in the state of Washington at 9:15 in the morning, I was upstairs, the bed began to go up and down, the house began to go up and down, and then back and forth because of the force of the earthquake, and immediately I walked downstairs to where my wife was standing. I said, lift your hand, and both of us began to say, peace be to this house, peace be to this house, and as we did that, the Bristol vases were rocking, it looked like everything was going to fall and break, but you know something, that from that earthquake, we didn't have one chip on a cup, we didn't have one vase broken, not one thing was harmed in our home. There were neighbors of ours that didn't live too far away because of the force of this earthquake. Their entire china cabinets turned over, broke all the glass, broke all the dishes they had. Listen, when the word of prophecy comes forth, this is for you to be obedient in it. And I believe many times with the gift of prophecy will come the gift of the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom is given so that you will be protected. And when these things do come, we will know the protection of the Lord. I thank God for his guidance. I thank God for the word of wisdom. I thank God for the gift of prophecy. And for this reason, this is the reason the word of God said to despise not prophesying. Remember that, to despise not prophesying. I could give you many other illustrations of how God has worked concerning personal prophecy over a person. And as we will move into a service, new people that we don't even know, as the Spirit of God moves upon me to move in and prophesy over them. And again, I must repeat this here because there's such misunderstanding over the country about it, that the prophecy that comes over them will confirm what God has spoken by the Holy Ghost. Not long ago, we saw in the newspaper, and we're not much to visit other places because we're so busy in meeting. But there, in this in the ad, well, showed these two national ministers were going to be ministering in a denominational church in this city. And the Spirit of God said, you go on Saturday night. And so we were obedient. It looked like that night we couldn't go. So many things came against us. But you must know, when God speaks to you to do something, the devil will try to hinder the working and the plan of God. And this is up to you not to allow him to hinder the working and the plan of God and that which is intended for you. We got to this denominational church that night, and I'll tell you, that foreign minister, he spoke in his native language. His wife could speak English. She was also a national, but she spoke English, and she interpreted, and as he began to minister, he spoke a sermon on holiness that I've never heard from any American or Canadian pastor. Every young person should hear it. Every adult should hear it. Every pastor should hear it. It was tremendous concerning holiness and the walk of God and the right standing with God and sanctification. And as he was ministering, the Holy Ghost leaped within me, and the Spirit of God said, now, then close to the service. Now, I didn't know this man. They'd never seen me. This was in a denominational church. And the Lord said, at the close of the service, you prophesy over that man and his wife before you exchange any greetings, before they know who you are. Nobody knew me in that congregation, or before you even know anything about them. I said, Lord, I'll be obedient to what you've spoken to me to do. So at the close of the service, a very strange thing happened. This minister, this foreign minister that was speaking, turned to me. And without knowing me, he said, brother, I want you to stand and conclude in prayer. And I kind of sat there. I didn't know for sure if he meant me. He said, yes, you, brother, you stand and conclude in prayer. I stood, and the Spirit of God began to move as I concluded in prayer. And as soon as I was finished praying, I walked up to this national minister. And I said, brother, I said, before I exchange any greeting, before any words are spoken, the Spirit of God says, I'm to prophesy over you and your wife before anything is said. I took them into the pastor's study. I began to prophesy. The word of knowledge began to operate. The word of wisdom began to operate. And as I was prophesying, both of them grabbed me closer and held me closer and closer. And I knew that God was speaking to their hearts and bringing comfort and the word of knowledge on something to confirm the word that this was faith operating. And after the service, after I had prophesied, this brother held me tight. And he said, brother, you have no idea how this has confirmed exactly what we have been going through and the word that we needed from the Lord. He said, this is almost exactly like a prophecy that came over me after I was first converted and the way God has been leading us. I'll tell you, things of God, it pays to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Now, had I not yielded to this, and like I say, if this comes, you don't have to do this openly in front of everybody. If it's an individual case and like that, as you will move in and be obedient to the voice of the Lord can use the gift of prophecy to bring encouragement and comfort and the word of love and comfort that is needed for that person right at that time. Now again, I must mention here that you don't have to wait just until you get to the service to be inspired to prophesy. You don't have to wait until you get to the service for the Spirit of inspiration to come upon you to interpret. You should be walking so in the realm of the Spirit, and this is what is going to make a healthy, strong church. This is what is going to make a church that is walking in God and walking in the realm of the Spirit, for us to walk in the Spirit and quench not the Holy Ghost, because then the Holy Ghost will be able to speak to you prophecies that should be given in a service, even when you're sleeping at night. Even when you're out on the job, when you're driving your car, you're not in the realm of the earthly, but you're in the realm of the supernatural, because you have set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. There are different ways that the Spirit of God can move upon you in prophecy. I'm great for people being slain under the power. For those of you that have been in our meetings, you know that. Because there's a tremendous ministering, people being slain under the power. When you are slain under the power, you submit. And you have your mind to submit intelligently that you might be slain under the power of God. And when you are under the power, you are on God's operating table. And let me tell you something. When you're slain under the power, and you that are using these tapes for the home meeting, you move in by the laying on of hands, believing that the saints there will be slain. And they'll submit and use and be used of God. We, even as Pentecostal people, have gotten to the place that it's hard for us to submit to God. It's hard for us to yield to the Lord. We've been sitting at ease in Zion for so long that when God begins to move, I'll tell you, there's so much pride and hypocrisy that has to go, that God is actually using severe ways today in us yielding, that this pride and hypocrisy and everything of self may go. Well, we were in a certain city after it begun to move into this, and I was slain of the Lord too. You said, you are the minister being slain? Yes, the husbandman must be partaker first. I don't hesitate a minute to go to some young man that's 13 or 14 that's moving into this and say, brother, I want you to lay your hands upon me and pray for me that I'll be slain under the power. I yield to being slain because there's a tremendous minister of being slain under the power. We were in this certain area holding meetings. I was slain under the power, and it was when I was new in prophecy. And as I began to move in, the Spirit of God showed me a great big rock, a great big stone, just like you would take it. During my Bible school years, I had worked in the mine during the summer, and it was like a great big stone that had been blasted out. And I saw this, and I saw this stone begin to rise, and it was just begun to be polished and all the edges taken off. And as this was taking place, it was actually coming forth like a diamond in the rough. And after the diamond had been polished instead of the old stone, I saw the glistening. And the Lord said, now this is like the life of a person that has come to the Lord. They're actually like rocks and stones. But as they will yield to the Spirit of God will begin to take and polish and shine and cut off the rough edges. And that saint will come forth as a diamond in the rough. And the Spirit of God said, you stand and prophesy what you have seen by vision. So I stood and I began to prophesy exactly what I'd seen by vision about the rock, about how rough, how hard it was, and then how the polishing and the chipping and the cutting had taken place, and the diamond had come forth out of the rough. And the Spirit of God said, you tell the people this is just exactly like their lives are. They're like diamonds in the rough. But as the Spirit of God will mold and shape, and as we will yield to the Word of God, which is sharp as a two-edged sword, as we will yield to the ministry of the Spirit, that we shall come forth as a diamond in the rough, walking with the power and the glory and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Another time, I was new in prophecy, and like I said to you before, that as I, Spirit of God moved upon me, I used to go home from a service, and those 13 years that I ministered without knowing that all the nine gifts of the Spirit were resident at all times, and many times, somebody would give a tongues message, I would feel so embarrassed that I could not interpret. I would say to Sister Duncan when I got home, I'd say, I would feel so embarrassed, I feel like a dunce because I can't interpret. I said, but God hasn't given me the gift of interpretation, so there's nothing I can do about it. God would begin to move in a service. I would desire to prophesy. And I'd say, well, I said, I actually feel embarrassed that I can't prophesy. But I said, God hasn't given me the gift of prophecy, so there's nothing I can do about it. But listen, saints of God, 8.5 years ago, when God moved upon me after seeking God for 7 months, becoming desperate for the things of God, I went back to my congregation that had known me. And I'll tell you, the first Sunday, their eyes popped wide open. They were shocked because the Spirit of God came upon me. I began to prophesy. And as I prophesied, the Spirit of prophecy said that people will come in from the east and the west and the north and the south. And many times in the old school, when prophecy has come, we think it's going to happen 100 years from now or 50 years from now in the sweet by and by. We don't realize that the Lord is speaking for the present day. And may I say again here, if the devil can keep you thinking in the past what God has done, or if he can keep you thinking in the future what God is going to do, I'll tell you, he's going to defeat what God wants to do for you today. So as this prophecy had come forth, I want to tell you, God wants to work today. His glory wants to be revealed in and through you today. He wants to show his glory, his majesty. He wants to confirm his word with signs following today. And so do you know that after I'd given that prophecy, that people would come in from the east to the west, from the north to the south, 30 days have not taken place in the area where I was pastoring, when people began to come in from all directions, from every denomination. They came from as far as Japan. They came from as far as Russia. I'll tell you, people were slain under the power. I could hardly walk into the sanctuary day or night, 24 hours a day. People would be under the power, on the seat, under the seat. People were being saved. People were being delivered of demons. People were being healed by the power of God. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation. Now, I was new to this, and this is what I say to the pastor. To the pastors and to the evangelists, let's begin to move in and become partakers as husbandmen first. Let's allow God's Spirit to move upon us. Don't wait until you think you have to have somebody with this ministry. This isn't my ministry. This isn't a ministry of somebody else. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost quickening the Word of God. And when you realize this, you don't just have to have 2 weeks of revival in the spring and 2 weeks of what we call revival in the fall. But I'll tell you, the revival Spirit will break forth in your congregation. You can have Sunday revival in the Sunday school hour. You can have revival in the youth services. You can have revival in the morning service and the night service. And there will be, you'll come to the place that you're not up one day and down the next day, but there will be the increase of the glory and the power of God because of the revelation that you've had of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this other time, as I was slain in the power, there, as I was slain, I had a vision of the glories of heaven. I saw the children of Israel marching in victory. I saw the Shekinah glory of God upon them. I saw the fire of God upon the altar. And then I saw the children of Israel as they marched forward in obedience to that which God had commanded that their shoe leather didn't wear off from off their shoes. I saw that they went forth in divine life and divine health and divine healing, and not one was sick among the 2 million of them. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you stand and you begin to prophesy what you've seen by vision. And the Lord said, you tell the people, and victory marches were new to me then, but he said, you tell them as they begin to march this night in the service that the shackles would fall off, that they would be healed by the power of God, that God would move in demonstration of the power and the Spirit. I stood that night under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Sister Duncan said that the glory was so heavily upon me that my face was white. She said, you were white as could be from the glory of God. And I began to prophesy the vision that I had seen. And I prophesied that I had seen in the glories of heaven. And as the Lord opened up the glories of heaven, I saw the children of Israel as of old marching in the Old Testament. And as they were obedient to the word of God, that 2 million of them went forth, and not one of them was afflicted, not one of them was sick, because of being in obedience to the word. And the shoe leather didn't even wear off or come off them their shoes because of that which God had spoken. And the Lord said for me to begin to prophesy that the Shekinah glory of God was there, the fire of God was there. And as I began to prophesy this in the name of the Lord said, you tell the people to march, and as they march to expect victory, as they march to expect healing, as they march to expect the Spirit of God to move upon them. And I'll tell you, that night God confirmed his word with signs following. Now listen, the Lord gave me that prophecy during the time that I was slain of the Lord. There are many different ways that the spirit of prophecy will come upon you. The Lord can show you by vision what to prophesy. The Lord can show you in a dream what to prophesy. The Lord can show you while you're on the job what to prophesy. And this is a secret of walking in the Spirit. This is a secret of being obedient to the voice of the Lord. And when the saints of God will come to this place, they'll realize that they don't have to wait until they come to the house of God to get inspired. Oh, they'll know that the anointing abides, and that as the anointing abides, it does not come and go. God is able to reveal his truth. God is able to reveal the needs of the people long before you get to the house of God. This is the walk of victory, saints of God. I trust and pray that you'll feel the same power that I'm feeling as I minister on this day. I trust and pray that you'll feel the stirring of the Holy Ghost in you as I minister this, so that this will bring divine life and divine strength and divine health to you, that we will begin to walk in newness of life. And this is what the Word of God says, that our minds are renewed daily by the Holy Ghost. Even we as Christians that have been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost for years and years, we need the renewing of the mind. We need the quickening of the Holy Ghost. Listen, saints of God, I feel the spirit of prophecy right now. And ye behold those that are listening in, and those that will be obedient to the voice of the Lord, and those that will move in as an act of faith, even those that have been bruised and wounded in Christ. Behold, as thou shalt allow the gifts of God to be stirred within thee, thou shalt begin to prophesy, thus saith the Lord. Thou shalt begin to prophesy the word of the Lord. Behold, the gifts of God shall be stirred in thee, and that which the devil has said that thou shalt never be able to feel, thou shalt never be able to move in. Behold, the devil has hindered thee, my children, and behold, thou shalt know the glorious liberty in the Holy Ghost. For behold, the Spirit of the Lord hath caused me even to prophesy in the name of the Lord, that thou shalt be liberated, and thou shalt be set free. And behold, the grave clothes shall be cut from thee, and thou shalt know the glorious freedom in the Lord. And behold, as thou dost know the glorious freedom in the Lord, from thine innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. And instead of imparting doubt and fear and unbelief and a falling away, thou shalt impart the life of the Lord. For behold, thou shalt know that these mortal bodies, that these fleshly bodies are quickened by the Spirit of the living God. And instead of being eased in Zion, and instead of lethargy, thou shalt know the power of God that shall move from the top of thy head to the soles of thy feet, and thou shalt come into a victorious walk that thou hast desired for so many years. So yield thyself to the Lord. Allow the Spirit of God to operate in and through thee, and as thou shalt minister to others, thou shalt be ministered unto, thus saith the Lord. Listen, saints of God, I feel that. And as you will take heed to the word of the Lord that has just been prophesied, listen, I will receive many letters, many people will call, and they will say, listen, this happened to me because of the ministry that has come forth on this day. These are days that the church is being liberated. These are days where the glory of God is coming forth. These are days of restoring. And like David of old said, restore unto me the joy of the Lord, then sinners will be converted. The church is sitting back at ease in Zion, and they'll say, when sinners are converted, then there'll be joy. But listen, David said, restore unto me the joy of the Lord. He said, then sinners will be converted. And in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter that we've already shared with you, with one of these tapes that you must hear, he said, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and they shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. And the Lord said, my people shall be satisfied. Read the entire chapter of Jeremiah 30. And it tells us that thy children shall return from the enemy's territory. Many of your children are away from God. Many of your children, many of the people that have once known the peace and the power of God, they're out on the devil's territory. But he said, your children shall return from the enemy's territory. And again, may I say here, when the joy of the Lord is in the camp of the Lord, and the people return from the enemy's territory, there's going to be more joy and peace and happiness in the house of the Lord, because the Lord is preparing the table today. But the thing that is hard on us, we can't partake of two tables. We must partake of the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the table is spread. All things are ready. Come to the feast. I'll tell you, the church is moving into days of feasting that we've never known. In one of these tapes, I'm going to move in and share with you concerning the Feast of the Tabernacles. And in the Feast of the Tabernacles, there are seven feasts to be had. I'll tell you, the church is in for feasting. The church is in for rejoicing. And when people come into our meetings, they see the spiritual activity. They see the joy that is coming forth from the saints of God. It's a shock to them, and many of them will go out in criticism. And why people will criticize people being happy and rejoicing, I cannot understand that, because there's so much sadness in the world, there's so much sickness in the world, there's so much confusion in the world, that every Christian, whether they understand it or not, they should know that joy does not come from the devil, joy does not come from the world, joy comes from the Lord, because this is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It is the joy of the Lord that he's giving. All right, now, remember, I want to bring out a scripture here in 1 Corinthians 14 and 22, and it said that tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. In other words, tongues are a sign to the unbelieving believers. There are many Pentecostal people that are against tongues in a service. They don't believe in the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. And whether you are a believer that you do not believe in the manifestations of the Spirit of God, or whether you're a person that doesn't believe because you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, tongues are a assigned to the unbeliever, and they should be manifested in the house of God. Now, if a church will move on into all the nine gifts of the Spirit, the body will not be lopsided, but will be built up and will come into the full maturity because of the manifestation of the divine nature of Christ. Thank God for a number of years we've had tongues and interpretation. Thank God for a number of years we've had prophecy. But as I just mentioned to you, if the church will move on beyond the inspirational gift, if we will move on to the revelational gift, which will be a word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirit, the church will not be lopsided, and we will not walk into so many snares and the pitfalls of the devil, because there will be a word of wisdom move in this direction. There'll be a word of wisdom move in that direction. Listen, saints of God, if we don't stop with the inspirational gift, as we will move on with the revelational gift, then we will move on into the power gift, the gifts of healing, and the gift of miracles, and the gift of faith. I'll tell you, God will confirm his word with signs following, and according to the word of God, everything will be shaken that can be shaken, and God will come forth in strength and power. No man will get the glory, no organization will get the glory, because we'll sing together, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Hallelujah. All right. Now, many times when people begin to move in, the devil will say, well, that's you that's prophesying. That's your tongue. That's you. That's just you doing that. The only way the Lord can get to you to interpret and prophesy is through your mind. I don't know how we've thought any other way can come. It can't come any other way. It has to be your mind. And when the devil says that to you, you say, yes, devil, that is myself. Because if the Lord wanted angels to do it, he would have called angels down from heaven. But he has given of his divine nature, he has given of his spiritual faculty, that they might be produced in you and in me. And this is through the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Because as we've mentioned to you so many times, they're resident at all times. And it has to be your voice that is going to you. It has to be your tongue. It has to be your body. And that goes right with the scripture. They speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And the word utterance there means voice. They speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them voice. About every one of you that are listening to this tape, you have a voice. If you haven't spoken in other tongues, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you can move in right now and you can receive the Holy Ghost and you can choose not to speak in English, but you can choose to speak in other tongues because God has given you voice. Now remember that the gifts are always perfect when they leave heaven. But many times when they get and begin to manifest to people, then imperfections come in. Now this is where it takes forbearance. This is where it takes long suffering. If a person makes a mistake, don't kick them out. Don't say that's flesh. Don't say that's fanaticism. Because we all learn how to yield to the operation of the gift. And the more we know how to yield, the more confidence there will be. And the more confidence there will be, greater faith will be manifested. All right, now as I mentioned to you, people will say, well, I'm afraid that you're getting too gift conscious. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says to follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. And the original means to chase after. And if you're going to chase something, you're going to run after it. You're going to follow after it. Your whole heart is going to be after it. All right, Paul said, he said, follow after spiritual gift. He said, run after spiritual gift, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the nine gifts of the Spirit, because he is all wisdom, he gives the word of wisdom. He's all knowledge, so he gives the word of knowledge. He's all faith, so he gives the gift of faith. Listen, let's desire spiritual gift, that we might reproduce after the divine life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the temples might be cleansed. And not only are we going to stop with the nine gifts of the Spirit on these messages, we're going to move into the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to move into travail, because these are days when the temple is being cleansed and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And remember that the Spirit of God will not flow through unclean areas. This is Evangelist W.L. Duncan bringing to you by revelation and inspiration the ministry on the nine gifts of the Spirit. May the Lord quicken and enlarge your heart, and may we pray like David of old, Lord, enlarge my heart that I might receive them. I would like to continue on in our studies concerning the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit. I would like for us to turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And before I go on, many times people will say, well, I'll accept the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist, but why do you mention the apostle and the prophets? Now listen, this is for the New Testament church, and God has never changed his divine order. And he gave some apostles. See, we substituted by voting this one in and that one in. And this is the reason there's such chaos, actually, among many of our churches. Because the Word of God tells us, even concerning putting those in to rule over the church, that they should be men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom will be big people in God. Any time that God begins to move, it's not revival if it's just limited to your own four church walls. It's not even revival if it's just confined to your own church organization or denomination. It's revival when it will reach out and when you will have such a love for the Lord and the things of God that it reaches far beyond the needs of your family. It reaches far beyond the needs of your church. It reaches far beyond the needs of those that are just surrounding you, that it reaches out around the world. Without a revelation, the people perish. And this means without a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no restraint. The greater the move of the Spirit and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we have to want to draw to the Lord, draw nigh to the Lord, and not to walk according to the ways of the world. Now let's go on to Ephesians 4:12. These five gift ministries are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, I'll tell you, saints of God, there's revelation in that. If the church ever needed the five gift ministries and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, we need them now. because these ministries are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, or the fullness of Christ. Now, a lot of people will try to measure their spiritual life by another person. They'll say, well, so-and-so is going to make it in, I'll certainly make it in. None of us are called to measure our spiritual life in comparison with another person. We are to measure according to the place that we've come to, the unity of Christ and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature of Christ. Now, in this message, before we go on with the revelational gift, I feel in the Spirit that I must stop here and bring you forth a message on have faith in your anointing. We've been considering the scripture in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing that ye have received abideth in you. Now, when you go to move into the things of the Spirit, it is not your spirit. Your spirit has to submit. Your spirit has to subject. It has to be your voice. It has to be your tongue. But you must realize that Christ is the hidden treasure, and it is a hidden treasure that is coming forth. We are living in days when we cannot depend upon somebody else's faith. We're living in days that we can't depend upon even the church's faith. God is bringing us to the place that we have to depend upon the faith that Christ has put within us, because this is the faith of the Lord. This is the anointing of the Lord. And as we bring forth this message, have faith in your anointing, it's going to make it easier for you to move into tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. It's going to make it easier for you to move into the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of discerning of spirit. And then it's going to make it easy for us all to move into the gift of faith, and the gifts of healing, and the gift of miracles. The Lord knows that we need it in our churches today. All right, now, number one, Christ is the hidden treasure. Now, Christ is not in some distant foreign land. He's not just in some place waiting to judge, but Christ is the hidden treasure. And where is the hidden treasure? The hidden treasure is within. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, we read, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, I'm going to quote that again, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure. What treasure is he speaking about? He's speaking about the treasure which is Christ. Hallelujah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And in some of these tapes we have shared with you, and many times we quote that scripture, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we stop right there. But beloved, it goes on to say, according to the power that worketh within us. According to the power that worketh within us. The greater the power that works in us, saints of God, the greater and the more God is going to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, because we are in the realm of the Spirit. Now, we all realize that after we come to the Lord, that we are actually new creatures in Christ Jesus. We realize that we have the new wine in new bottles. Now, remember, the Lord is not going to put the new wine in old bottles. The minute that we get so organized that we write down a set of laws and of rules and of doctrine, we say, now, this is what I believe, and this is what I believe, and this is exactly what I believe. You know what we've done? We've corked our bottles. And oh, so many have corked the bottle because we say, now, we believe it's this way, and we believe it's this way, and we've been full gospel so many years, this is the way, just the way it's been. Listen, that is a lie from the pit of hell, because no person has a full or truth, not even myself, none of us have a full or truth. This is the reason we must keep open to truth and life, because we will not have a full or truth until that which is perfect has come, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you cork your bottle and you say, this is exactly what I believe, the Lord is not going to put the new wine in old bottles. He said this so that both will be preserved. Those that have corked their bottles, they're saved, they're believers. We understand that. But I'll tell you, you know what happens to wine? They say the new wine fizzes. And that's the reason, as we uncork our bottles, as we receive a new heart and a new spirit, God begins to pour in the new wine from heaven. And as the Word of God tells us, the wine that is served last is the best. And I believe that the wine that the Lord hath for the last day in the last day message and for the body of Christ today as we approach the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be the best wine that the Lord has ever given. We've been experiencing that in our services. In the last week here in Napa, Idaho, I don't think I've ever seen so much wine in all of my life. So many of the saints have got so drunk on the wine from heaven that they can hardly walk. And even as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has been pouring in the new wine till night. I can actually tell you, I've hardly known what to do. Why? Because of the wine from heaven. Listen, I thank God, and this is the reason, as I mentioned to you a moment ago, what happens to new wine at business. Well, when the Spirit of God will move in a person, I'll tell you, there comes forth action, there comes forth life, because there's life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He hasn't come just to give life, but He's come to give life in abundance. Now there's some that believe, now listen, that's out of order, that's just a play. And if you're going to be active and that's just the emotions, well, may I say to you that any person that doesn't have emotions is in the cemetery. Any person that has no emotions is in the cemetery. And listen, thank God for life. We thank God for emotions. Well, people say, I would rather be wheat. And they feel just in the word that if you're weak, that you're real quiet, you're real dignified, you're not emotional at all. And they'll say, if you're emotional, that's chaff. God help us, that's not chaff. The Bible says to praise God in the dance. It says to praise Him with the cymbals. He said, praise Him with the tambourines. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't say to make a beautiful sound unto the Lord, but it said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, when John the Revelator had the vision of the Lord in Revelation, the first chapter, it said that His voice is going forth as a sound of many waters. And for years we've taken that's going to be the Lord. He's going to speak on some mountaintop and His voice will be heard all over the world. I'll tell you, saints of God, His voice is going forth as a sound of many waters. And how is it taking place today? His voice is being heard in the voice of the bride. His voice is being heard in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of the saints of God, begin to prophesy, begin to give tongue messages and to interpret. They begin to sing not only in the understanding, but they begin to sing in the realm of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is a master key pianist, will come and play upon the heart string, and we will sing in other tongues songs and melodies that we've never known, being encompassed about with songs of deliverance. And I've heard this in services across the country, that as God's people have begun to move in with the new songs that the Lord has given, that through the believers, His voice goes forth as a sound of many waters. And thank God this voice is going around the world. And as John the Revelator spoke, it says that there would be the voice of the bridegroom. Thank God the voice of the bridegroom is going forth. And as the voice of the bridegroom is going forth, it's creating a hunger for the things of God. Many are getting sick and tired of the past. We're sick and tired of denominationalism. Yes, we're even sick and tired of Pentecostalism. We're tired of that which has been spoken that happened years ago. And as the voice of the bridegroom goes forth, the Spirit of God is creating within us a hunger and a desire for the supernatural, for the Word of God to come forth, and that we'll actually take the Word of God, we'll eat the Word of God, we'll live the Word of God, and actually we're separated from so many of the cares of this life that have hindered the children of the Lord from knowing the plan and the will of God. So number one, remember that Christ is the hidden treasure. And He is hidden. He's right within your heart and soul. And as you keep open to the things of God, He'll put the new wine in the new bottle. But as long as you think, no, I can't believe that. That's not what I was taught 40 years ago. Well, you've corked your bottle. If you want the new wine, you better get your bottle uncorked, because the Word says, and God will not go against His Word. He will not put the new wine in old bottles. All right, number two, and this is shocking to many of us, we have the mind of Christ. Now remember, we're speaking on here, in here, concerning the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit. How are the ministries going to come forth if we don't realize what is within us? Have faith in your anointing. Number two, we have the mind of Christ, for in 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Word says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And the devil and even the church world has made us to think that we're going to get the mind of Christ by the way of death, or that we're going to get the mind of Christ by the way of the rapture. Listen, the Word of God says that we have the mind of Christ. You wouldn't know it the way a lot of Christians are acting. I know pastors today, there'll be one church that's open, maybe it's a good paying church, it has a big parsonage, oh, it has a lovely congregation, a big Sunday school, everything nice in the natural, that there will be see as many as 120 ministers feeling that they have the mind of Christ. I'll tell you, it's not the mind of Christ they have. They want a big salary. They want a big Sunday school. They want a big party. This isn't having the mind of Christ. When we come to the place that we have the mind of Christ, we will actually go through the Gethsemane experience like the Lord Jesus Christ went through. And finally, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he looked up to the Father and he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." I tell you, the flesh dies hard. The move of God is hard on the flesh. We don't go to any meetings. We're not making these tapes to satisfy the flesh. We're not making these tapes to pamper the flesh. I don't go to any church to be orthodox. I don't go any place to just be churchy. I'll tell you, we're not called to be churchy. We're not called to be orthodox. We're called to deliver people in the name of the Lord. We're called to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when we realize, as we've been bringing out here, where Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Listen, believers, you realize that you have that. And I want to turn to a scripture that's so important for you to know. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and I believe it's starting with I'll start with the first verse. "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some would think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds." And before I give you the next scripture that I want to share with you, listen, we must remember that our weapons are not carnal. In our churches, we've been trying to use too many carnal weapons, and that's the reason we're producing carnal people. If we use carnal weapons, you're going to get carnal people. I tell you, if you choose to lean upon the arm of flesh, you get exactly what the arm of flesh has to offer, and that is nothing but disappointment, because the Word of God says to have no confidence in the flesh. May I say that to you again? Many people are choosing to lean upon the arm of flesh, and if you lean upon the arm of flesh, I don't care if it's my flesh or your flesh or someone else that you have so much confidence in, if you look to them and lean upon the arm of flesh, you have nothing ahead but disappointment. And if you're going to continue to use carnal weapons, we're going to produce carnal people. And the Word of God tells us that our weapons are mighty in God to the pulling down of the stronghold. And then number 5 is what I want you to notice here: casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, you know I'm a great believer in the ministry of casting out of demons. We know according to our studies on demons that there are 3 spirits. There's a heavenly spirit that will not come in without invitation. There is the demonic spirit that will come in without invitation, but you have to invite the Spirit of the Lord. And then there is a human spirit that is always there. And in verse number 5, this takes your human spirit to do this after you've been delivered. And even as you're walking in the walk of victory, Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, so you can write it down, he says, casting down imagination. Now you cast those imaginations down, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. Who has to do that? You have to do that. Your human spirit has to do that. You have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And listen, when we cast down these imaginations, when we bring into captivity everything that exalted itself against God, when we bring that into captivity, and when we bring it into the obedience of Christ, we have the mind of Christ. That takes your human spirit. This is where the discipline of the flesh comes in. This is what the word disciple means, that the disciples discipline themselves to walk in the Spirit. We have to do this, for I'll tell you, if you don't, you can imagine a lot of things. There are a lot of things that will come into every one of our hearts that exalt us itself against God. We have to bring them into captivity. We have to move in so that we have the mind of Christ. I like Paul the Apostle said, we do not have the spirit of the world, but the mind of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the word said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. And may I say again here, we blame this on the unchurched world. This is right in the church. Look at the natural spirit that is coming to the church. How many of us can say that we have not received the spirit of the world? This is the reason a move of God is shocking to the spiritual life. It's shocking to the physical system. It's shocking to the religious system. It's shocking to the Pentecostal world today, because very few of us can say that we have not received the spirit of the world. So men are sitting in the natural wondering why they can't understand the things of God. Number three, we have this ministry. Have faith in your anointing, because we have the hidden treasure which is Christ within. We have the mind of Christ. And number three, we have this ministry according to 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore sing. We have this ministry as we have received mercy. We faint not. And the word there faint means we don't cave in. We don't give in. All right, what do you say? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Oh, God, help us today. We have this ministry. So many of the churches, I remember when we were going to build a certain church in a certain place, a Pentecostal minister said, if you'd make the annex a little larger, you'll have a gymnasium. I said, I'm not building a gymnasium. I said, I'm building a house of the Lord. Listen, we have this ministry. What ministry? The ministry of deliverance. And because you're going to build a gymnasium to keep your young people and pastors and leaders that are out bowling with their young people until 2 and 3 on Sunday morning, it's no wonder there's no anointing behind the pulpit. When we're trying to practice psychology and psychiatry, and we're trying to bring in everything to keep the young people and keep our churches full and to compete with other churches because of spirits of jealousy and so forth, this isn't the ministry that Paul the Apostle was speaking about. For it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we don't faint, because we have this ministry of deliverance. Number four. You must remember this in having faith in your anointing. We have the daily renewing of his spirit and strength. For we read in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen, saints of God, we need the daily renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can't get along without it. The devil is coming against the minds of God's people today. And the reason the devil is coming against the minds of God's people is because they're listening to all other voices. They're tied to the television. They're tied to rock and roll music. They're tied to everything else. And their minds are so cluttered with the cares of this life that it's almost impossible for them to have the renewing of the mind. Listen, for you to walk in the Spirit, you have to move beyond the natural, and you have to allow your mind to be renewed day by day in the Holy Ghost. For if you don't, there's a spirit of lethargy that will set in. You will become at ease in Zion. And I'll tell you, the devil will dull your mind until you can't perceive truth. I'm going to make a tape on that. I'll tell you on a certain demon that goes along with that, that will stir your hearts and souls. May this stir America from one end to the other, from the east to the west, from the north to the south. May this message catch a hold upon our hearts, and may pastors that have been so lenient and thinking, well, if I preach the word, if I don't tickle the people's ears, I'm going to lose a good tither. Listen, let's be more concerned about losing a tither. Let's be concerned about the daily renewing of the mind, so that people might be able to perceive by the Spirit of God. Let's come against blindness. Let's come against unbelief. Let's come against doubts. Let's come against fear, and allow the renewing of the mind daily in the hearts of God's people. As we do this, this takes away striving and battle. Oh, I hear more Christians saying, I'm striving for the victory. I'm striving for the victory. You quit striving for the victory, because the victory was given 1900 years ago. When you'll have a revelation of the glory, the power, and the majesty of the Lord, you'll quit striving for that, and you'll walk in the victory of Calvary's cross. You'll walk in the victory of the resurrected Lord, and you'll realize that according to the scripture that Paul has given us in Romans the 8th chapter, and he said, these mortal bodies are quickened by the Spirit of the living God. Alright, number five. We are complete in him, body, soul, and spirit. Oh, how thrilling. Christ has come to make us a whole man. Christ has come to make us a complete man. In the beginning, when God made man, he made a perfect man in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. And don't you let the devil, don't you let any man kid you. When God gets through with man, he's not going to have an imperfect man. He's not going to have a man that he's ashamed of. He's not going to have just a part of a person. He's going to have a whole person, body, soul, and spirit. For we are complete in him, body, soul, and spirit. And you say, well, where do you get that scripture? In Colossians, the 2nd chapter, and the 9th and the 10th verses. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Listen, in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead? In Jesus, hallelujah. And where does Jesus rule? Where does Jesus reign? He is the hidden treasure, as we talked on the beginning of this tape to you. I'll tell you, it's no wonder that God has challenged us to bring this message. Have faith in your anointing, because it's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's the anointing of the hidden treasure that is residing within you, that is resident within you. And the minute that you can realize this, I'll tell you, faith will begin to be operated and manifested in your life, that you'll begin to say, by faith, by faith, by faith. The weak will begin to say, I am strong, and they'll go forth in the name of the Lord. All right, why are we complete in Christ? And ye are complete in him, speaking of the Lord Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. I'm not waiting until the trap rapture to come. I'm not waiting for the trumpet to sound. I'm not waiting for the millennium. I'm not waiting for the sweet by and by. But my Bible tells me that he hath raised us up together now to sit with Christ in heavenly places. You are lifted up now to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Listen, don't you let the devil go around beating you down. Don't you let the devil go around say you have no faith, you just as well die. You mothers and fathers of Israel who are perhaps 6 years tender, 80 years old, your hair is turned white, and the devil is saying to you, you just as well die, because there's nothing you can do. That's a life from the pit of hell. I'll tell you, the move of God doesn't make any difference how old you are, or the age you are, doesn't make any difference with the move of God. The Spirit of God is moving upon the young and the old. The old need the young, and the young need the old, to walk together as a mighty army, and not breaking ranks one with another. All things are put under his feet. Listen, all things have been put under the feet of Christ. When he died and when he rose again, he stripped the devil of principalities and powers. Therefore, our position is in Christ, and all things are under our feet. Listen, saints of God, don't let the devil give you that run around anymore that you're under his feet. All right, all things are under the feet of the Lord. We are in Christ, and he is in us. Well, we're in Christ, and he is in us. All things are under our feet. In Colossians, the 2nd chapter, and the 14th and the 15th verses, we read, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took us out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now notice, I'm going to read that again. May the Spirit of God quicken it to your heart. In Colossians 2 and 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was brought against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it into the cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly. When did this happen, saint of God? 1900 years ago, on the cross, when Jesus died, when he rose again, he made an open show of the devil. And this is the reason I say, I never go to a delivery room to battle demons. I never go to a sanctuary to battle demons. I'll tell you, the Lord won the battle over them, and they were stripped of their power 1900 years ago, and they are helpless creatures. And the only power they have is the power that you will lend them, because they were stripped of their power. I'll tell you, the Lord did it on the cross 1900 years ago, and this must be revelation to us. All right, all things are under the feet of the Lord. All things are under your feet, because you have been raised up together to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Number 6, have faith in your anointing, because we are made what? We are made able ministers of the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 3, 6 through 18, you should read it all, but I'm going to read a portion of it. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the Spirit killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you that. I just speak in tongues as I read that. I'll tell you there's revelation in that. He says, and as we're ministering to you, have faith in your anointing, because the anointing abides according to 1 John 2:27. I repeat that over and over. There'll be truth and revelation to you. And then in 2 Corinthians 3, we've just read, all right, why do we have faith in the anointing? Because he hath made us able ministers. All right, an able person is a person that's able to do something. He has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Many churches want pastors today with personalities. They want a wife that just has personality plus. They want pastors that can be a football coach and be a good Joe with the young people and a good Joe in the community. Listen, God hasn't called us to be good Joes. God hasn't called us to pat each other on the back. The Lord has called us to be able ministers of the New Testament. And what will an able minister do? An able minister will deliver the people that are demon possessed. An able minister of the gospel will bring healing in the name of Jesus. An able minister of the gospel will be partakers first, and as leaders, as ministers, as missionaries, as evangelists, call of God, we are able ministers of the New Testament to minister life, to minister the grace of God, to minister the power of God, to minister faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why did he say this here? Because we all with open faith beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into what? We are changed into the same image. The same image of what? The same image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned to you before, we're not imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. This place cannot imitate the Lord. This place cannot do it at all. But we are changed into the same image. The image of Christ is formed in us. And the more we will travail out those iniquities, the more we will travail and allow the Spirit of God to work upon those drives toward the world and toward the devil and all. These drives will be directed toward the Heavenly Father, and we will say, oh God, my heart is fixed upon thee. If sickness comes your way, your faith will not be shaken. If your job is taken from you, your faith will not be shaken. If death comes to your family, your faith will not be shaken. You won't say, oh God, why did you do this if you're the Lord and so forth? Oh, my faith is shaken. Your faith will not be shaken if your heart is in the right place to begin with. But listen, if your heart is on your job, if your heart is on your family, if your heart is on anything else but the Lord, and when these things come naturally, your faith is shaken. But listen, he said that we all with open faith beholding it as in a glass of glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. The church of the living God needs to be changed into the same image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the reason I'm not interested on who I'm preaching on, who's going to be the Antichrist. I'm not willing to preach on communism. I know that that's all going on. But listen, this is not a battle of that America versus communism. This is a battle of the spiritual warfare and the carnal warfare that is going on around the world today. Communism is not going to rule the world. Jesus Christ is going to rule the world. And as we realize the need for the church is to come into the same image, when we come into the same image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not know the defeats of the past. We will not know the lack of victory of the past. We will not know the depressions of the past. We will not know the disgracement of the past. Oh, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to tell anybody that's going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be a life of ease. For listen, we are soldiers on the battlefront for God. And those in this move today, the Lord is preparing us as soldiers on the battlefront. And this is the reason he said, put on the whole armor of God. This is up to your spirit. This is up to you to discipline your life and your flesh. And this is up to you to put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, against powers, against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need the armor of the Lord. Your armor is not going to amount to anything. Our denominational things that are standing, denominational organizations, I should say, that are standing, and thinking that this is going to happen through them and through something else. Listen, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Spirit of God has always moved upon individuals like Brother Price, like Amy Simple McPherson, like Martin Luther, and I could go on down the line, the Wesley brothers and many others. The Spirit of God has always moved upon individuals. They've been challenged because a new spirit, a new heart has been put upon them, and they've gone forth in truth and revelation. revelation, moving in the realm of the Spirit of God. And the thing today, the Spirit of God is moving upon the most likely person. Those that we would think the Spirit of God is moving up the most unlikely persons, I should say. Those that we would think that God would bypass. But listen, He's moving upon those. That I'll tell you, many of them don't have any reputation because the enemy is standing against them. But they're bringing truth that is going to stir the world for God. Now listen, he said, when we come to the same image, into the same image, he said, we go from glory to glory and from strength to strength. And in the tapes you'll hear me say this many times, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And to the degree that we know the truth, at that degree are we liberated and free. Listen, I believe as sure as I'm ministering to you now, according to Isaiah the 40th chapter, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And why am I a firm believer in it? Listen to the rest of that verse. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken, and whatever the mouth of the Lord has spoken is surely going to come to pass. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'll tell you, you read the prophecies all the way through. Whatever God has spoken, I don't care if every organization says it can't be. I don't care if people say, well, the denominations are standing against it, and there's such a falling away, there's such a time of apostasy. Listen, my Bible tells me the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh, A-L-L, that means all flesh, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It said that every mountain shall be brought low, every valley shall be exalted. Oh, I'll tell you, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. This is happening today. The Lord is preparing for us a table in the presence of our enemies. When you move into the things of God, remember if you've got anything that you hold dear, anything that you can use as a crutch, you're not ready for the move of God. It takes a stripping process. You have to be willing to be identified with Christ in His reproach. You have to be willing to be identified with Christ in His rejection. But listen, saints, have faith in the anointing that God has given you. Realize you can pray the prayer of faith and people will be healed. Realize that you can speak words of power and they will come to pass, and God will honor your word as much as He honors His own word. Why? Because the anointing that God has given you is the life of Christ Himself. And like I say, He's not in some distant place, but He's dwelling within your heart and soul, because He is the treasure in hidden vessels. Remember, as we've already spoken and said, we have the hidden treasure. We have the mind of Christ. We have this ministry. We have a daily renewing of the Spirit for our strength. We are complete in the Lord, and we are made able ministers of the New Testament. This is Evangelist W.L. Duncan, bringing to you the ministry on the nine gifts of the Spirit. May the Spirit of God challenge your heart, and may you realize that the anointing that God has given you is for you today to give you hope and courage and peace in the world that there is no peace.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.